What's up, y'all? Before we start this episode, I would like to address a very, very serious topic. So about 2 years ago, we had two guests on the show, Josh and Ashley Grayson. And as of recently, they have both been indicted for murder for hire. And I just want to say, here at Millionaire Mindsets, we have zero tolerance. We don't support, we don't condone any of that behavior. If y'all been watching and following us over the years and supporting us, which we greatly appreciate it, y'all know how we are about our platform. We very transparent, open, and honest about our platform. And when things like this come out, we absolutely have no support and condone. And I just want to come straight to my audience and let you guys know what it is. And that's, we have removed those episodes. And it's some crazy stuff. And like I said, we completely have zero support, zero condoning of any of that behavior. So I just want to let the audience know from live from me, since I bought them on the platform, I thought it was only right to let y'all know what's going on. And that's all I have to say regarding that. So now we're going to get right into the episode.
Gotta get your brain right if you're trying to make $1 million. If you ain't gonna do it for yourself, then do it for your mama. Only stay surrounded by them people if you know they solid. Elevate your hustle up today to double up your profit. Trying to learn some game, Xavier gonna talk about it. No, Deanna, speak that shit that everybody vouching. Ain't no more excuses valid. Get up off the couch and get up in your bag. To your bank account, need an accountant.
Yo, what's good, y'all? Welcome back to The Greatest Show on Earth. I know it's been a minute, y'all, but we back, and I'm glad to be back. So today I got a very, very special episode for y'all. But before we get started, I would like to advise all the watchers, the viewers, the listeners, to please subscribe, leave that 5-star rating, review, comment, like, all those things. We would greatly, greatly appreciate it. And getting right into the show, I got a very special gentleman. He's about to come and drop some real game, some real value for y'all. He out of the Midwest as well, and his name is EK. Welcome to the show, bro. What's good?
What's good, bro? How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. I'm doing fabulous. What about you?
Doing great.
So let's get right into it, man. For the people, this may be their first time hearing you, seeing you, whatever. Get some brief background on yourself.
Okay, so my name is EK. I'm originally from Indianapolis, Indiana. That's where I was raised. I live out in Phoenix now. I'm a stock options day trader. Okay. I've been in that for 2.5 years. I started in January of 2021 with $1,000. And my first 11 months, I took that up to $1 million. And ever since then, it's been on and popping, man.
Oh, man, we gotta get deep into it, man. Because so many people, they finna hear that. They gonna be like, what? Man, ain't no way. That's cap. I don't believe it. So break it down, like, how exactly did you do that? Because that's an unbelievable feat, for real. That's crazy.
Okay, so a part of what I did, though, first before I got started, I studied. So I studied, like, 3 months straight. Like, I was at it. Like, I would stand up to 2 in the morning and then waking back up at 5 o'clock for 3 months straight. I was like, I really got to understand this. Because I seen in the market before I hopped in, when Trump was in office and COVID happened, it was just, like, everything with the market was just pushing up. So people was becoming millionaires literally like within 3 to 6 months overnight. So I was like, I got to get in this. When I saw that, I was like, that's definitely going to be me. So I just studied for those 3 months straight doing it that way. And I got in January 2021 and I never looked back.
So was you working a 9-to-5 at this time when you started?
I was doing like trying to do some wholesaling, but that really wasn't my thing. And I was in entrepreneurial journey and then trying to drop shit. But I was trying to find my lane, entrepreneurship. And then when I got into this, and I started getting good at this, I was like, all right, block out everything else. This is my focus.
So what was you, we talk about studying. Like, what were you studying? What was you using to study?
So I was doing a lot of stuff I tell people not to do. I was just watching endless YouTube videos, just like over and over again, every night, just hundreds of hours of videos, YouTube videos, people talking about trading. And that's how I got started. Like, I got in, they had no mentor. They had nobody telling me what to do. They didn't take no course before I did any of this. Just watching YouTube videos over and over again. That's how I first started.
Wow, so did you wait 3 months to actually do your first trade, or was you trading during the process of studying?
I waited. So I was like, okay, I mapped it out. Like, all right, I'm going to study for these 3 months, and then come the 2021 January, I'm in there.
So you knew before you started you was going to do 3 months of studying, or did you just, 3 months was just like random? It took you that long to feel comfortable?
No, I just feel like that's the amount of time I needed.
Okay.
I was like, all right, I'm going to give it about 3 months to understand it. It's something completely new to me. All right, 3 months after this, I'm like, I'm good to go.
If you had to say, like, how many hours a day at this time was you studying?
Man, I was studying, like, at least 10, 11 hours a day. That's all I was doing for real. Like, I wasn't really doing nothing else. Like, it was just me studying and trading. Like, I was so obsessed with it. Like, I could be in the middle of something eating or something, stop doing that, go look at them charts.
Just looking at charts.
That's all. And little YouTube videos.
You know, that's the part that most people want to do. Everybody want to be traders, but then when it comes to like that studying part, it's like, man, I ain't got time. Some people like they'll be like, my studying is gonna be just trial and error. I'm gonna get in the game, and through my errors, that's gonna be me learning the game, as opposed to going that
right way.
Yeah,
but I tell people though, you can do it that way, but what are you really getting from that? You're gonna lose way more money.
Hell yeah, you're gonna lose a lot of money.
And the market, this is something compared to other things. It's not like it's money in your face fluctuating all at once. Nothing else out there. That's actually a thing. So you see all that tens of thousands of dollars in your face moving like that. The average person, see they a little bit of red, they gonna wanna sell. So
immediately,
and they gonna be spooked out. So I tell people, make sure you learn the right proper information and you'll be good in trading.
So what do you think is the key things that, like, if you had to break it down to 2-3 things or whatever, what would you say the key things for people to learn? Like, say if they watching this and they like, okay, I wanna get in the markets too. What is it, like 2-3 things they should really focus on learning before they start trading?
I would say mastering your emotions, like keeping them low. Like, you can't completely remove your emotions. Like, we're human beings, like we're emotional creatures, but you have to manage them though over time to get better at them, be better in the market. Another thing too is the right information. So I feel like probably like 95% of the education out there, like far as with trading, is fluff. Like, they teaching you a lot of stuff about like indicators, like that lag that's not real and accurate, and get people clapped every day, losing money in the market. So we don't, in my group, Let's Get Richer, we don't use indicators. We just go off strictly price action. What is that? It's just know how the candles are moving. We teach them how to read the candlesticks, and you be good to go. You don't need nothing extra.
When you started, what was that first trade?
I took my first trade on Amazon. I actually took my first trade, I lost. My first trade, I didn't really get on a good winning streak until like my second week. Like, my first $1,000 I put in the market, I lost that in my first 2 days.
What was it, on Amazon?
On Amazon. Amazon was like, when it comes to the stock market, Amazon's like the designer of the stock market. Like, everybody wanted it.
Right.
At that time, Amazon was like a super volatile stock. Like, all right, okay, let me trade Amazon. Like, Amazon, Apple, Tesla, all the big names you hear about, that's what everybody was trading. I was like, all right, I'm in Amazon.
So do you think that's for people that's starting off? Because also... Same way?
Stay away from them.
Stay away from them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Like, because also another thing is when you trade those expensive to trade.
Super expensive. And everybody can't afford them.
Exactly.
And that's another thing, too. I don't think it's taught. People are out there telling you, like, oh, you need $5,000 to $10,000 to start trading. You don't. You can literally start with less than $500 and grow your account. Like, for instance, one of my mentees I was telling you about, he was trading Riot. Riot is one of these crypto mining companies. They're super cheap stock. The contracts probably cost like $10 to $20. He just recently made $200,000 and he sent me the text on a trade. $200,000.
$200,000 in a day on the trade. That's crazy.
Off of cheap stock.
That's wild, yo. So you went from, you said, what did you start with again?
$1,000.
You started $1,000 to a million in
11 months. Yep.
So... what was the trajectory? Was it just straight like that? Because that's a short period of time. Or was it like...
I'm gonna break it down. So that first $1,000 I had, I lost it in my first 2 days. And I refunded my account the beginning of that second week. Lost that in a couple of days. And I was like, all right, okay. I took 1 day off. I was like, oh, I'm just about to study. Then that third $1,000 I put in, I was like, this is my last $1,000 I'm putting in the market.
You was going to give up?
I was like, no, I'm gonna just chill for a minute. I was like, I'm going to leave it away for a minute. Like, I clearly don't know what I'm doing if I lose this last $1,000. So I'm like, I put that $1,000 in and I just took off. So when I put that $1,000 in, by the end of my second month, I was up $20,000.
Okay.
But like I said, I was playing Amazon. I put my whole account. When I tell people, you don't want to do this. Like, you got to have proper risk management. I used the whole $20,000 on Amazon in 1 day and lost 15 of it. It was so back down to $5,000. Yeah.
This some shit, boy. This is shit. This definitely a roller coaster. So you went from 1 to 20 back down to 5. So when you let's talk about, like, you said emotional management. So when you go back down to 5, what is the thought process? Like, how you feeling? Like, is you like, man, I'm up from 1, or is you like, fuck,
I had bad risk management? I was telling myself my risk management is not there. It's only my second month in, so I'm telling myself I'm still new. That's something I have to learn over time. You're not just going out the gate have a great risk management when it comes to trading. It's just not a thing. So I'll say, I told myself, I backed down to five. I need to control my emotions. I have better risk management. So I took that five, and that's when I went on the tear. And by the end of the summer, the June, that's when I hit over 100,000. That was when I, and then after that, the next 5 months, it just went crazy. I just started hitting $20,000-$30,000 days. It just added up to where I was over a million by November. So
yeah. This during the pandemic too, right? So
this is yeah. Yep. So
if anybody knows anything about the market, especially the pandemic, stuff was going crazy, man.
Yep.
It slowed down a bit now, but it was definitely going crazy. So at this, did you let on your brokerage account, did you let it hit a million, or was you taking profits?
No, I let it hit.
You did?
Yeah. Mm. But I ended up taking a lot of that out after that. Because I knew after that point, I was like, man, it's a lot of money in there. Let me go park it in other things. So I started putting in like Airbnbs and then like other stuff I was just trying to invest in. So, yep, that's how I went about it.
What made you wait that long to start taking?
I just feel like I needed to see that number. I told myself I can do it. I was like, man, I'm going to do that in less than 2 years. It ended up happening in 11 months. I didn't think it was happening that fast, but I told myself I can do this for real.
Did you let anybody know, or was you just like, because I get the vibe from you, it was like you were a super low-key person, so it's like you probably wasn't even telling nobody.
Nobody
like,
knew, for real. They knew I was trading, but they didn't know how much money I was making. So it was just like, she didn't even know. My girl didn't even know. So, for real? At all.
What? So, so hold on, let's break this down. How did she find out, and what was it like when she found out? I know she was like, probably lit. Like, hold on, what?
After the fact, I told her, she was like,
she probably didn't believe.
No, she didn't. I had to show her to her. She was like, oh yeah, I see you've been doing your thing. Cause she seen for a minute, I was just spending all my time on this. She was asking me like, oh, what's going on? Like, all right, like whatever. Cause it's taken away from other stuff I was doing. I told her, I don't need to really understand this. Like, this is really gonna change everything. And when she seen that, she was like, okay, yeah, you're killing it.
That's crazy. You having these winning days and you ain't even saying a word. Like, no, I
had to chill. That. I had to chill because I know me going out and saying it to everybody or just talking about it, I feel like that's where I was going to make more mistakes. And mm-hmm. then people started pulling away from me, asking me how to do it for real. I'm not even in a year into it yet. I still get my feet wet. So yeah. I was like, man, I'm going to take my time before I even go try to teach somebody this.
Yeah, that's smart because you can't. You know, oftentimes people start, you know, running their mouth a little too fast, yeah. And now everybody, like you said, everybody coming to you for information, and yeah. Now you off track on what you need to do.
Most definitely.
Yeah. So that's very impressive. But that's so funny because I know, you know, most women, if they know their man ran up on them and they don't even know, then they just all of a sudden know, they're gonna be like, hold on, what we finna have a ball right now. So that's dope on both of y'all part, man. That y'all that did right by that. So what was so you did that in 11 months. So what was, what came after that? What did you do after that to maintain the money? Did you have fun? Like what happened?
So I just started like killing even more. So after that point, I started teaching. People was reaching out to me. It was like, okay, as I was in a group where it was a big group.
You were showing them like what you did?
Like I was showing them percentages. Then I started showing them like, okay, I just did 20,000 right here. I just did 50 right here, and I done had last year 2022. I had like over 10 days where I did over 100,000 in a day, and then my biggest day
consecutively.
No, just like in between the whole year.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
But like my biggest day to date, like as far as how much I made in the market in a day, is 275,000. That's how much in a day.
When? What you do that on?
I did that on Netflix earnings last year. Yep.
275,
and I only put up 13 to do it. 13K. Yep.
So break that down, so because people gonna hear that, they're gonna be like, hold on, how that work? How you put a 13 to get 275? So break that down to the average mind that don't understand how this really work.
So in that situation, that's a unique situation that don't happen all the time. I tell people on a stock like that when they have earnings. So say they had a revenue or whatever, all that the quarter was bad or it was good, that might push up the stock crazy or it might bring it down crazy.
Right.
As investors, they're not ready for that situation. So when that happens, it's like a crazy reaction to it. So whoever invested into it at that time, they don't get to see a big return on it.
And how many hours did it take?
For as like getting that play and getting out of it. Mm-hmm. So it was like an overnight thing. The market closes at 4 p.m. Eastern mm-hmm. time. I hopped in around like 3:50, and I was out of it at 9:35 the next day.
9:35
a.m. the next day. But I did a crazy thing, though. End up dropping way more, so I end up missing out on like a half a million.
Word.
Yep. If I would have just held for 30 more minutes, I would end up doing a half a million.
Hey, you can't be mad. Hey, you still you cashed out. You won. So that's still a phenomenal feat. And this the trading industry in the market is so complex and interesting to me because there's so many different dynamics to it. So to like hear your story, it's super dope to hear because I know it ain't easy. Most people get in the market. I can't remember the statistics. It's like 96%, like 90% of people, like they fail, they lose money. So to hear stories like this is like, it's crazy to hear, bro. Yeah. Like that's super dope, man.
But I think the main reason why a lot of people fail is not one, it's two things, two factors. It's your emotions and your strategy. So a lot of people are naturally not good with managing their emotions. A lot of people are emotionally attached to money. That's something over time I know if I wanted to get better at this, I had to remove.
Being attached to money.
Like anything I was doing, like even now, like what I'm doing is like, I know the money's just a tool. It's not the end all be all, it's the freedom behind it.
Facts.
And the second part is strategy. So a lot of people teach to use lagging indicators. I don't know if you ever heard of like MACD, RSI, EMAs and all that. That stuff is trying to keep up with these candles and they never can. So people are having delayed entries and delayed exits. So they're naturally losing money that way more. Yeah, it can work sometimes. But the strategy itself is not the best. So we tell them to understand how to read candles, which is price action. And that's what our group do. And we're able to hit these high percentages in the market every day.
Talking about, you said, I want to go back to something you said about being attached to money. And you said you had to release that. I want to ask you, how does someone do that? Because at the end of the day, this is a capitalist society. You know, people got bills, you got rent, you got to pay for food. Everything costs. So most people... it's hard for them to relinquish that attachment because it's like everything is attached to what you have. So how did you do that?
I feel like the average person operates in a scarcity mindset. Like they need that money. But I told myself the better I get over this over time, the more money I see, I'm gonna have to remove that. Cause if I don't, I can easily blow it. Cause I done seen people blow 50 or 60,000 at a time in the market cause they're not good with their emotions and they feel like they need that money. But I told myself, this is just a tool. Money is not the reason why I'm in this. It's the freedom behind it and everything else I'm able to do with it, like being my family and all that. So I just feel like over time, as a person, you get better, you get at this, you have to remove your, not remove them, but like limit your emotions. Or just how you feel about money, it shouldn't be something that you need, but it's just a tool.
And with that being said, we talked about your biggest gain in the day. What was your biggest L in the day?
My biggest L in the day... was on the earnings play. I lost like 40,000. It was on Google earnings, but that's more riskier playing earnings. But like an actual trade outside of earnings, the biggest L was probably like 12,000.
12,000.
But based off of my account is and was at that time, like that 12,000 was mediocre to what I already had made.
So in those moments, are you getting like extremely down on yourself? You know what I'm saying? Or you feel like shit, or is just like this come with the game, on to the next play?
I say it was just like just come with the game. But that was early on. The better I become with this over time, I realized it's a strategy. It's the risk management. Like the more you focus on risk management and not pin all your money up to get in the trade and like, having the right strategy, the less you'll be able to head on times where you blowing your account or whatever.
And being from the Midwest, I know where I'm from coming up, this stuff, I ain't never heard of trading options until I think like right before the pandemic, right before like COVID, like this, it was a extremely new phenomenon to me. Yeah. So was it the same way for you?
So I kind of heard about it when I was in college back in like 2015, in that area, like 2015, 2018. But it's like, I seen somebody doing it, but I didn't believe it. Like I didn't believe that was real for somebody like me that came up how I came up.
Right.
I came up in a situation both my mom and dad was like in the streets. So I had to witness that, and then family members doing the same thing in the streets as well. So it was like, I thought, okay, I had to go to another route and go to school or somewhere, go play ball to actually make it for real. But when I came across that, I was like, okay, the dude talked to me about it, but I didn't believe it. And then when COVID hit, whatever, in pandemic, I seen how many people, much money people was making in the market. I was like, man, I can definitely do that. So I got into it. I studied it. I was like, man, this is it. Like I was doing other stuff, but it just didn't. It wasn't resonating with me. It wasn't nothing that was like keeping me up like at night for real. I feel like anything you're doing, if it keep you up at night and your interest is naturally there, you're going to get better over time.
Facts.
So
that's the gym low key, man. And it was now since experience success accomplishing these things, is it like do more people talk about family, friends from back home, they knowing you accomplish these things? Is everybody blowing up your phone like, yo, EK, put me on game? I know you're getting hella messages from people regarding that.
Yeah, I get a lot of messages, but I also learn how to ignore a lot of that because I know a lot of them aren't even hit me up for that exact reason. But I done gave out, I done try to help people out for free plenty of times. I done have a course, I done like, okay, get my course for free. But I always say, like, if somebody don't pay for something, they're not going to really pay attention to it.
That's facts.
Like, without no pressure, there's no progress. Like, if you're not pressuring somebody, okay, spend some money on this to do it, they're not going to really, it's not going to be a full attention, it's going to be there. So.
Are you still trading daily at this point?
So I moved to where I mainly swing trade.
Okay.
Swing trading is more so, okay, I get in a play one day and I sell it. I mean, I get out of it probably the next day or the week or whatever. But day trading is still lucrative. Like, a lot of people in our group still do it daily. I just more so doing a swing side of it now because I'm teaching more now. I'm going around showing people the real how to trade. So I'm more so on the educational piece and trying to build out the platform.
You think swing trading is better than day trading?
I think it is. It's smoother because you know I have to be in a situation where
you're watching it all day.
Watching it all day. And I tell people, don't treat trading like it's a 9-to-5. Like, a lot of people think, okay, I got to go to work every day. I got to be here every day to make money, which you don't. So the market is opportunities where it's the market is real good, but opportunities where it's not. You have to know those situations. So that's why I swing trade. Okay, I'm gonna chill on this day, but I'm gonna hop in the play. I'm just waiting till this thing of it develops. So,
how much harder is it to trade because we technically in a recession compared to pandemic, pre-pandemic? How much harder is it to trade today?
I don't think it's hard necessarily. I think it's simple when you have the right strategy. A lot of people aren't teaching people the right thing, so they make it seem like it's harder than what it is. If you have the right strategy in place, when you understand price action, that's what we teach. You can trade any stock in any sector, any given moment.
Break that down some more.
So what I mean by that, most people think of the market, they're looking at like playing like when I came in, the Amazons, the Teslas, the Apples, the Microsoft, but you can trade any and everything out there. You can trade oil stocks like ExxonMobil, Chevron. You can trade like people going to the store like Walmart, Costco. You can trade Victoria's Secret for people that like women that like to wear that stuff. Trade any and everything if you understand price action.
That's heavy because it's going to be a lot of people that watch this, listen to this. You know, trading is still hot. People want to enter the game, but people enter with a eagerness and a thirstiness to make some money. Yeah. And I feel like that's the quickest way
to lose money.
To lose money. When you're like, I need some money. I need to get some money right now. So I'm about to trade real quick. It's probably a high probability that you're going to lose whatever money you got and that you're playing with.
Definitely.
Do you consider trading? Because I like to ask traders this question. Do you consider trading gambling?
No.
Okay.
I feel like people approach it as gambling because they don't have the right strategy or they just pin up a lot of money, think they're going to make a lot of money at once. Back. Yep.
Yeah. So what would you say is the difference between, for somebody on a simple scale, that would be like, what's the difference between a trader and a gambler?
So a trader is somebody that's calculated, that's they pinning some money up, but they know their exit plan and actually what they're going to do. A gambler is like, okay, I'm pinning some money in, but whatever happens, happens. That's what thing is the difference between a trader and a gambler.
That's facts, bro. I see a lot of people, because they think like it's just throwing something at the dart, like they like traders get lucky, you know. I'm like, nah. It's strategy. I know a lot of traders, and I know a lot of them that made a lot of money, and it's definitely it didn't happen by accident
at all.
All the work and research and time they spent to learn their craft is definitely not an accident. You obviously you're gonna get some people that every now and then some people just get lucky as hell, especially when you got a booming economy. There's a lot of people that ran it up for real that can't duplicate what they did a couple years ago. Yeah,
and I've seen that. I've seen people that. Somebody I ran into in the past in this group I used to be in, he ran it up in that Trump era where literally at that time, from what I was looking at and the people I talked to that was in that era, you didn't have to like understand how to read charts, understand what those candles were doing. You just literally put some money in and Trump say something and the market would go crazy. So I seen somebody in that era make $1 million, but once he got out of office and Biden came in, you had to actually learn the stuff like as far as understanding charts and all that, went down to 8,000.
It's so funny because that like when that applied to everything, not just trading. I seen entrepreneurs in every field completely running up in the Trump era because everybody had money, whether it was EDD, PPP, all that. Everybody had money to blow, stimulus. So it was like a lot of people was really running it up. And it was easy. It was very easy to make money at that time.
Yep.
But now the same people you see seeing running it up is going through all kinds of struggles.
Yep, definitely.
You know what I'm saying? So it's, you got to know how to adapt to the good times and bad times with all this, whether it's trading or whatever industry you're in. You got to be definitely. 9 to 5, all that, because it's all this shit really cyclical for real. But like what's when it comes to trading, what's like your long-term like goal goal with trading?
So I plan to just like show the people the real how to trade like long-term, because I feel like me coming in, I was one of those people that came in like learning the fluff. I was making money at it, but it wasn't the right thing. But over time, as I got better with stuff, like far as when it comes to trading, I always evolved. I tell people, no matter what you're doing, you should be able to try to make it easier on you, the better you get. I mean, the more time you in it. So early on, I was learning nonsense. I was making money, but it was nonsense. Then I got better at it and started learning the real, and that's why I was like, okay, I'm at ease with it now. So I'm able to teach others, and they're doing their own thing. So my community, Let's Get Richer, that's my Discord name. Everybody in there are independent traders, so we don't like do no live trading with them or none of that. Like, we don't want the people to feel like they need us to do it.
Right.
I tell them any day something can happen to me, or I can say go on a vacation or something for like a month or two, I don't want to trade. What are y'all going to do when that happens? So we teach them to be independent and not rely on us, and people are able to kill it every day in the market in our group.
That's dope, man. Are you still, at this point, are you still studying consistently every day like that?
Not every day, but most of the time. I'm just trying to, in this situation, I'm teaching, but also studying the things that it's like, that's proper and that I need. Because like I said, I had to remove away a lot of the nonsense to get better at it over time. I'm not finished, so there's so much more we would plan to do with it. We want to reach other countries and other places, because trading is not just in the U.S.
Right.
It's like global, but I know global, a lot of people are learning the wrong stuff. So our plan is to go to other countries and start doing classes and stuff all over the place to help people learn it the right way.
Hey, you guys, sorry to interrupt today's episode, but if you're looking to get into the e-commerce space, then I have something just for you. A little while ago, Xavier and I decided to start an e-commerce store, but we had no idea where to get started. Luckily, after doing some research, we came across Shopify. If you don't know what Shopify is a commerce platform revolutionizing millions of businesses worldwide. Whether you're a garage entrepreneur or IPO ready, Shopify is the only tool you need to start, run, and grow your business without struggle. Shopify puts you in control of every sales channel, so whether you're selling satin sheets from Shopify's in-person POS system or are offering organic olive oil on Shopify's all-in-one e-commerce platform, you're covered. And once you've reached your audience, Shopify has the internet's best converting checkout to help you turn them from browsers into buyers. And that's something we can personally attest to. And what I love most about Shopify is no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is truly a global force, powering millions of entrepreneurs of every size across 170 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is here to support you every step of the way. This is a possibility powered by Shopify. So if you guys are interested in getting started, you can go to shopify.com/mindsets and sign up for a $1 per month trial period. Again, that is shopify-mindsets. Get ready to take your business to the next level today. Thank you guys again so much for listening, and let's get back to the show.
That's dope, man. You mentioned helping people several times. And my question I want to ask you is, why is that important to you?
Because I feel like it should be people out there that help others have a better situation. So, like, if you know, like, you see somebody there struggling or something going on, if you have the opportunity to help them, if you have, like, a skill that actually can make somebody life better, why don't you just go do it? Don't keep it to yourself. So, always been that person that had to give back, man. I want to see people do better and be in better situations.
That's dope, man, because a lot of people, like, what they call it, gatekeep the information.
Yeah,
they like, all the time. I'm up, I won.
Nah,
that's y'all not, better figure it out.
That's not leading the community, though. I think it make everything better for everybody, and the world just be a better place. Like, you need to constantly teach, and if you know something for real that can change somebody's life, why don't you go
why not, help them? Why not help them? So you have a lot of what's the word I'm looking for? You have a lot of I'll put it like this. So it's important to you to build the community, basically.
Yep.
That's important.
It's super important.
Has that always been important to you?
That's always been important to me from day one. I feel like I was going to always come in. Like, if I understood it enough, I was going to be able to go teach other people. Because even when I was younger, it was doing other stuff. Like, whatever I was doing, I get good at it. I try to go help somebody else. I never try to keep it. Because I feel like the opportunity is so much stuff out here in the world that we're people who can make money or make their life better. Why don't you go and give it to others as well?
It's still so many people that's fearful of trading, that's scared of the industry, that's like, I remember when I first started trading, it was still, I had a, like, questioning myself, like, I don't know, should I really do this? I ain't trying to lose no money. So I know it's a lot of people that's frightened by this industry. And I wonder, like, why do you think, because there's so much information out there now, you can learn it. So why do you think there's so many people that still, to this day, scared about trading?
It's the information. Like, a lot of people are teaching fluff. Like, people are naturally intimidated by those charts because those charts naturally have a lot of stuff on it. Like I told you, like, a lot of these indicators that they teach and all that, it's naturally going to scare somebody. It look foreign to them. But if you take all that away and just focus on what those candles are telling you to do, you won't need none of that. And that's what we teach. So it's the information. A lot of people are scared of this because how it's taught. It's not getting taught right the right way by a lot of people in the community, like, I mean, in the industry. So, like I said, trading is not just in America, it's global. I feel like 95% of the education out there is fluff, it's nonsense.
And I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, becoming a seven-figure trader. How old are you?
29,
we're same age. So becoming a seven-figure trader in your 20s,
yep.
What's the biggest lesson you learned during that process?
Just to, like, to keep my emotions in check and understand, okay, yeah, I'm young doing it, but man, if I just understand and learn this over time and get better at it, I can reach so much more other people at my age. Like, I didn't think it was early on when I was young. I always told myself, like, okay, I wasn't going to do what I was raised around, like, in that lifestyle. I was always going to be something different. I didn't know what it was. I never had to find out in my mid-20s, okay, I understand this, and I got introduced to it. I was like, okay, that's it.
How do you stay away from, because once you experience success at an early age, because this is an early age, how do you stay away from blowing it, splurging it? Because that's the easiest thing to do.
You just got to know what you want for real in life. Like, if you're really trying to be free and you have other stuff, you have goals in place to where you can retire your moms and all that and just make sure your kids and everybody are in better situations, you will look at that and be like, okay, that's more important. I'm not going to blow this money. I can easily be somebody who go out there and spend money on the cars and the chains and the watches and all that every day. But I know that stuff is temporary. It's going to always be there. Having my people in a better place in a situation over time and getting these generations to come, like, that's they set up, it'd be better.
Have you made any crazy big purchases?
Probably the biggest purchase, probably the chain, but like a car.
What you get?
This only was 10. It's 10,000.
What you said you bought a car too?
I got a few cars, so, but that's under a business name though. It was a tax write off. Okay. So
what you get?
I got a Corvette.
Okay.
2022 Corvette. C8. A Stinger.
Okay. Yep. Oh yeah. That's
so fine. That was 120, but that was under my business. I was ready to write that off. So.
Basically you smart with your bread. That's what
you gotta be for it to be the longevity in it. You gotta be.
Is that something that you figured out by losing it early on in life, or is this something that you innately just always knew how to be smart with your money?
So I seen people younger, like I said, in my upbringing, that had a lot of money, but they were blowing it on dumb stuff. Like, I literally seen like my uncle, God rest his soul, he was a millionaire in the streets, but I seen him blowing money on just cars, just going out and doing all that stuff. So I was like, man, that can't be me when I get older if I want to have that, like, forever, for real. So I seen them, a lot of people blowing money at an early age. Like, man, I can't be that same person.
I understand completely, because I said it was the exact same thing for me growing up in Chicago. I had family that was doing their thing too, and I seen it my whole life coming up, and it was just blowing with luxury cars, luxury clothes. So it was like, man, when I get money, That was all I knew. I'm going to do the same thing. So yeah. when I started getting money, my early 20s,
yeah,
blew that shit.
Yep.
Every time. Because I'm like, man. But it took me a while to learn and realize, like, man, making money ain't the goal. Is to keep the money. That's yeah. the thing, because it's easy to make it. But if you spend all the money, you're making money for no reason, for real. Definitely. So it took me. That's why I asked you that, because I know that's the case for a lot of people, especially yeah. when they come from similar backgrounds as us. It's like they got to bump their head a few times to yeah. really learn. Like, you just got to, you know what I'm saying, take care of your bread and keep it.
It's way more to it than that. Like, you can't just think, okay. I think a lot of people think of in their life, right, like right now in the moment. They're not like living for like and planning to do stuff for next generations to come or their kids. They just think, okay, I got it right now. YOLO, like that term yeah. YOLO, you only live once. So I'm about yeah. to blow it right now, instead of like, okay, I can put this amount of money in this and my kids or kids after that can be good 20, 30 years from now. A lot of people are not thinking like that.
You're right. And a large portion of it, I think, is because a lot of people don't see themselves the older version of themselves.
Yeah.
I know yeah. To be honest, bro, I didn't start thinking of myself at like 50, 60 years old and like can really see that and probably yeah. till I was like 25, 26.
Yeah.
But before that, I couldn't see 40, 50 year old me. That just yeah. like, it didn't even make sense for real. Cause especially coming up where we come from, you know, people be getting killed all the time.
Before they
18. Right. Yep. Maybe yeah. 18, 7. So it's a lot of, in a lot of cases, it's hard to like envision yourself being this old ass person. So you had a mentality of YOLO.
I'm gonna have fun now. Yep. So yeah. I had to get out that mindset too, man. I just feel like the more money you make and you see like guys blessing you, okay, you have a skill, you have something that can change people's life. Over time, you have to realize, okay, I can't do that same stuff. And the older you get, you have to realize, man, that stuff gonna always be there. Like the partying, the going out, like, all right, buying stuff, it's always gonna be there.
It's always gonna be something new.
Yeah, it's always be there.
Seasons. It's always the Dior store always gonna be there. Gucci store always gonna be there. It's always gonna be so. Nah, you right. You right, man. I'm just saying this just for the people that's listening that's younger that may feel like this is stuff they absolutely need now, especially yeah. if you can't afford it. Yeah. It's like, trust me, you don't need it. You don't need that shit.
The better, the younger you start, the better you come. So I'm like, I tell people all the time, if you like 18 to 21, you trying to figure out what you want to do, man, start something. Like if it's not a job or whatever, you can start trading, you can start other businesses. Just start, the younger you start, the better you become over time.
Facts. And you got what they call it, something they call competitive advantage. If you start at 18, 19, 20, by the time you 20, if you serious about it and you really yeah. like grinding and working, and stacking, saving your money, by the time you are age, you're going to be
set.
You're going to be so up. Yeah. But I think it's, you know, because they could hear that. He like, yeah. They could hear that, like, but a lot of people, they just going to have to go through it. They're going to have to bump their head, blow the bread, so then they're going to come back to a conversation like this. And like, man, I remember they was on that show. Because me and you, we both 29.
Yeah.
So we could tell people that's listening, that's 18, 19, 20, like, I'm telling you, we give you the blueprint on what to do. Find a hustle. And go crazy. By the time you're 29, 30, you're going to be so lit, so up. Because what happened, as you get older, your peers, you start to
see the distance
and the gap from your peers. I'm seeing that now. Like I was reading something, I seen that, and I was thinking about my life, and I'm like, damn, that shit's so true. Now I got a family. I'm making good money. I'm living a good-ass lifestyle. The gap is getting bigger and bigger from people that came up in the exact same situations as me.
Most definitely.
That's going to happen for everybody.
And I feel like you said, you made a good point. Like, okay, some people need to go through it. But also, I feel like some people just need the guidance. Like,
facts.
Some of them are hard-headed. They're not going to listen. And they going to have to go through that. But some people just be like, dang. Like, for me, instance, like, if I saw somebody tell me, like, okay, this is what you should do at this age, and I had that guidance, like, I probably would have started way younger. But I had to experience it though on my own, just go out there by myself to actually figure it out.
Yeah, you seem like the type of somebody told you all this stuff that you know now, 18, 19, you probably,
I would have took off for real. Earlier.
I could definitely see that, man. But that, like you said also earlier, that's why it's so important to be, like you said, a community and giving back. That's why that's so important, because there's so many other people, like how we was at 18, 19, that don't know this information.
At all.
And we could just be, they might just hear this. That's so dope about the internet. We ain't got to physically reach these people no more. We could digitally reach them.
That's dope, man. I appreciate you, man, even being on here to actually showcase this and actually show them the real, like, how y'all really can do this. No matter your age, don't matter. You can be 18, 19, you can be 60. It don't matter.
Yeah, I already, bro. It's so funny, bro. Like when I be out, I already know probably 2-3 years from now I'm gonna be out. Somebody gonna walk up on me and be like, yeah, "Bro, I listened to your episode with EK. I started trading and I ran it up." It happened all the time, everywhere I go. So
yeah,
it's always conversations like this. They always spark somebody, male or female.
And I love that. Yeah, we're just reaching more. We're just reaching the community more and more, and that's what I want to see.
Yeah. So what's as far as information wise, like, and how you learn things, what would you say? Do you like reading books and stuff?
So I listen more to podcasts than
more of a podcast or reading books.
I would like listen to an audio book.
Okay, so what would you say your top three is of all time? Anything, ain't even got to just be investing, trading wise.
As far as audio books?
Yeah.
So this is one, I would go to movies more, like old school movies. So like, I don't know if you ever seen Trading Places. Eddie Murphy?
Yeah.
That's a classic. A lot of people know him as a comedian. They didn't see him on that side.
No, they didn't.
That's like one of my all-time favorite movies. Another
Jamie
one.
Jamie Lee. What's her name? Jamie Lee Roberts?
Yep. Yeah. Yep. And then it's another one, Pride with Terrence Howard.
Pride with Terrence Howard. I don't think I've
seen
that.
It was more so like a situation where they was coming up like in that, what can I say, like in like the Jim Crow law area, like people were starting to like go to competitions. It had a swimming team.
Okay.
So a swimming team was better than the Caucasian swimming team. So they were trying to get into competition and do stuff and like showcase that, but they had to go through stuff. It's a movie called Pride. And another one, like, I like Paid in Full too. That's one. Everybody, I can't go lie to you.
Everybody like
Paid in Full, is one of the ones too. So those are my three. And every time I tell somebody that, I'd be like, man, that's a mix. But yeah, that's what it is. I like to be different and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. That's a very diverse collection of films. That you like. But those are all classics, though. Well, no, I haven't seen
Catch
Pride,
Pride,
so I can't speak on that. But yeah, the first and the third one, those definitely classics for sure.
Most definitely.
Yeah, so what would you, for a young person that's listening and watching to this, right, and they probably 18, 19, it could be 25. Well, it don't matter what age they is, but they trying to get their life on a path of doing financially well. Yeah. What would be your biggest piece of advice to that person?
I would say get around the right people first, like, and then like get a mentor if you can afford a mentor. That would be dope. You can get a mentor at 18, 19 that can potentially teach you some stuff that can set you up, and by the time you're 30, you be good forever. I would recommend that. Also, I would recommend them, like you said, learn a little money management. Understanding, okay, yeah, you got money, make a little money, but don't blow it on everything. Like, every time you get paid, don't feel like you got to go spend it. So, like, getting a mentor, focus on money management, and your health, too. So, making sure you
have health.
Health part is number one. Like, if you're not healthy for real, you're going to be sluggish all the time, or your mind not going to be in a situation where you're thinking clear. So,
at all.
Getting a mentor, focus on management and focus on your health would be something I'd teach. I mean, yeah. I would tell 18, 19 year old to do.
You know, people they'll think of the health part and they'll just think it's just to be, you know, physically fit and all that, look good. But it's really I think the number one benefit of being healthy is mental clarity.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? I think you have a clogged brain. I know that when I wasn't like working out and on top of my health, you know, kicking it, drinking, I felt clogged. My brain felt clogged a lot of times. But the moment I stopped doing that, got on my fitness, going to the gym all the time, you could just feel like you could think better about things.
Most definitely. A lot of people don't talk about mental health.
No, they don't.
And they, you know, naturally growing up in a community, they tell you be tough or don't talk about the problems you might have, like far as mental issues and stuff like that. So naturally that's becoming a thing people got to grasp to. They still trying to understand it. But like you said, the mental thing, your mental has to be all the way there. You trying to become a millionaire, do stuff like that, all that money, the mental got to be one of the top things you focus on, because it's going to be tough. You want to be in a situation where you always got to like step away just because your mind not right. You don't want to be like that.
No, man, it's the reason we named the show Millionaire Mindsets, because it comes down to the mental. Because you could get a bag, but then if you fall off that mental development journey, that bag, it's going to be slippage. It's going to start happening. So it's like your mind, even from the obstacles you're going to face, there's going to be so many obstacles and problems, especially if you want to run a business and run a company and all that. It's going to be a lot of, whether it's competition, there's going to be personal obstacles. You might have relationships. It's going to be so many obstacles you're going to face before you really get lit. So it's like if your mind ain't right, shit, good riddance. It ain't going to happen.
at all.
It's not gonna happen.
And I try to tell people too, when it come to try to find something outside of what you naturally do, like for a living that you make money, that that piques your interest. So it was a few years ago, Andre Iguodala, I'm pretty sure somebody played for the Warriors, he had an interview with the Breakfast Club, and he talked about them being on the court, how that eases their mind from all the other stuff that's going on inside of their life. And the dude owner in the Breakfast Club didn't understand that at first, but I'm somebody that used to play basketball, and still to this day, I still be hooping. I go, that's something I do outside of training or just business in general, that, like, man, I try to do it like an hour or two every other day. It just had my mind completely clear, like away from all the other stuff I'm dealing with.
Man, I can't do that shit no more. My body, I go hoop right now. It's Friday. I go hoop right now, bro. I ain't going to be recovered till next Thursday. So now for me personally, I like to play golf. Like that's cool. It's way less physical. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I could just sit out there and think, smoke a cigar, have me a drink. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Catch a vibe in while I'm playing. But that basketball shit for me, bro. I tried to play a couple months ago, bro. I'm
more so just getting shots in. I'd be at the crib just shooting. I used to be a shooter. Lefty. I'm lefty. I told her, me too. My grandma, left in the dame. For real.
Lefty. Okay. We just connected on a whole another level, man. I always tell people this. I be like, every left-handed person I know is, I'm like, and this, it ain't no diss because I'm left-handed. I'm like, they're a little awkward. Yeah. Like you can't really box them in. It's hard to read them.
Yeah, so, for real.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. Like every left-handed person I ever met, it's like I could identify on that same level. It's like they just think they see things a little different.
Most definitely.
Yeah. It's dope. It's hard to explain, but you being left-handed, you know what the exactly what
the advantages.
What you think the advantages is?
So like you said, they don't know what our next move for real.
Yeah.
So I tell people I relate this to like boxing. A lot of left-handed boxers, like
be the best.
Tank Davis, somebody I'm real a big fan of. He left-handed.
Yep.
That naturally you can't see that shot coming because most people are right-handed. They want to that's right hand. It's just naturally in other life things too. Like you don't see that left coming. So man, people are just thrown off.
And I ain't no tank was a lefty. Now that makes sense. You know, they say, I don't know how true it is, but I remember doing research on this. They say left-handed people are naturally stronger. So the fact that he's knocking people out like that, I'm like, okay, now that
dude only like 5'5".
Yeah, exactly. So I'm like, oh, that makes sense. That makes sense. They say we naturally stronger, but they say we died like 9 years earlier.
Too. 9 years earlier?
Yep.
That's crazy. I didn't hear that part.
That's
crazy.
Yeah, that's what they say. I only reason I know this because I be reading a lot, doing a lot of research on stuff, and then I remember I was looking at statistics. You know, they say the average black man lived to like 75.
Okay.
I was doing the math in my head on some other shit. I'm like, okay, the average black man lives to 65. I'm looking at how long do left-handed people live? That's how I got that number.
Yeah.
I'm like 65 minus 9 is 56. Wow. So I'm like, I think I'm going to live past 56. But let's just say that's the worst case scenario. At my age, I'm like, okay, I have X amount of years. So I'm like, I got to make shit shape.
Most definitely. I feel you. People don't see it as that.
Yeah.
They naturally think, okay, I got to go work 40, 50 years somewhere, and they retire, and that's going to be their lifestyle. But me not seeing that growing up, it started me earlier. Like, having parents and stuff that was doing stuff that's, it was illegal, but it triggered something in me. Like, okay, I'm not going to ever had that corporate dream for real. I never had thought.
You never had that dream, huh?
I never had a corporate dream at all. So I always was like, okay, I'm going to do something little in here and then go to college. Like college is more of an experience to me. I never really got there. I was like, okay, I'm about to go get a job and that's what I'm doing after that. It was more so an experience. It's just like figuring stuff out at a young age because I didn't really have no real guidance with it. So I was just figuring out through trial and error.
That's heavy, bro. That's heavy right there. I have family on the corporate. Then I had one side of my family that was on the street side. So I got to see both.
Yeah.
So it was always like, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I know I'm going to get rich. One of those kind of things. Like, I know I ain't going to be living no paycheck to paycheck lifestyle. I ain't going for it. So I knew that from the beginning.
Like, most definitely. Yeah.
Like this, did you always feel like you knew you would get rich, or is this something that you were shocked by when you accomplish it?
I feel like I always was, but I feel like...
You feel like you always was rich.
I feel like I was going to get to it. Okay. But when I was younger, when I was seeing certain stuff, I thought it was going to be that way. Then I had to tell myself as I got older, nah, like, that's not me. I'm better than that. I can do it in a way it's not like taught, or it's not like perceived that only our people can do it. So as time got on, I was like, man, it's not even a money thing. It's just like me putting my all in. Like I tell people, if you put your all in, whatever it is you're trying to do, the money's gonna come regardless.
Facts.
I know it's the money is never like the ultimate goal to me. It's no, about facts. Like just the freedom and just like putting the time. And I know I put my all in on anything, man, I'm gonna make whatever type of money it is out there.
Yeah. No, that man, that's a gem for the people that's listening. Because money is an infinite number. It never ends. So if that's what you're chasing, you just always gonna be on the hunt for something.
You can't cap yourself.
Exactly.
People always cap. Oh, I'm gonna make $1 million in 6 months. And what are your goals after that? When you surpass that?
That's when people start falling off.
Yeah, it gotta be bigger than money. Like so.
No, facts. That man, bro. You preaching now, bro. That's some real shit. Like I feel like you gotta constantly begin to just striving. The personal development journey, I think it's a lifelong journey until you die. And you gotta constantly be trying to get better. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's why I say 1% better a day and stuff like that. Because as long as you're doing that, I think you'll be fine. Money-wise, mentally-wise, all that stuff. But like you said, when you just chasing money, it's going to be...
You're not going to be yourself. And there's something with that, too. I try to tell people, like, when it comes to money or just in goals in general, like, it got to be something beyond that. Like, what you actually doing it for? Like... I gotta ask yourself, what's your real purpose on being on Earth?
Real shit.
Like, why are you really here for real? Like, that's a gem before my uncle passed. He was like, when you leave this Earth, what are people gonna remember you for?
Mm.
Are you gonna be somebody that's like, okay, they just was here, they existed, or they actually made a difference out here?
Damn.
I always wanted to make it. And when he told me that, and it was just like 2013 when he passed away, I was young. I was like, that always stuck with me.
That's real, bro. This probably my final question I got for you. What is your biggest regret
in life? Not just
business life, or either or.
This is not starting at a younger age, so basically just not starting what I'm doing now. Just younger. That's it. Like just, I feel like, but I'm still young though. People don't understand, but but I just feel like I'd have started younger, probably be more. But I'm like, okay, it happened at this time for a reason. Like it happened when it was supposed to happen. Like I didn't force it or and all the other stuff. Like it happened when it was supposed to happen. Mm-hmm. Like I feel like I'm operating in my purpose, what I'm doing, what I'm supposed to be doing at this time, because that's when God said I was supposed to do it.
That's a bar. You a father as well, right?
Yep.
How many kids you got?
I got three.
You got three?
Three little girls.
Damn, girl dad for real. Talk about it, man. I know you shoot for that boy.
Man, we've been trying, but hey, you look at her, she be like.
Damn, but that's dope. But what I was gonna say is how difficult is balancing, you know, being a businessman, a trader, and dad life, being in a relationship, how difficult it is to balance all of that.
So I try to tell them all the time, they ask, like, we got our youngest is 3 months.
I got a 4-month-old. So
yeah, you see, we got a 10-year-old and a 7-year-old. We try to tell them, like, dad is doing this for a certain reason because he wants y'all to be straight forever. So they might ask sometimes, like, all right, well, I'm not spending so much time with them, but I have to explain to them and their mom, like, okay, this is why. Like, this is the stuff we have to do to where y'all can be good regardless. We don't want y'all to grow up like how we did. We want y'all to have a completely, totally different life. So that's what we tell them all the time. It's just that.
Mm.
And they don't understand. Kids don't understand. Younger, they got a better life than most kids they age.
They don't.
They don't understand. Man. Y'all living life.
Man, I be looking at my daughter, bro. I ain't gonna lie. I be like I said, we was just in Cabo. You know, I got my daughter a nanny and all that. And I was just looking. I'm like, man, she don't even know, like.
What is, yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? She lived completely different than how I came up. But it's like, that's a standard. That's all she gonna know. So she not even gonna, it's like, it's probably gonna be hard to make them find that real appreciation for it. Because it's like, this is all they know.
Most definitely.
So, but us as the parents, we know, like, where we come from. And it's like. It's
a different lifestyle.
It's a completely different lifestyle than what the hell, than what I went through and shit.
And they don't get it. But I think showing them that, like, as they get older, like, okay, this is what I had to go through. And not say, like, our parents and did nothing bad. Like, I know my mom, that's what they was exposed to.
Exactly.
So I'm never, like, mad at them. I never look at them like, okay, y'all didn't raise me right. This is what they was exposed to. It was part of their environment. They had to operate in certain situations like that. So I'm never mad at them. Like, okay, y'all experienced that. We went through that. Now we're going to make it better.
Right. And they probably... they probably took it to another level from what their grandparents was doing.
Yeah.
Because I know my parents, that's how it was with them. They yep. took it to another level from what their grandparents was doing. I took another level from what they were doing. Then 100% my kids going to take it to another level than what we're doing, which is how what it's supposed to be for real. But it's yeah. just amazing to see firsthand, like, damn. I was having a conversation recently. I'm like the building I live in is one of the buildings my father worked in, like as yeah. far as like doorman and stuff yeah. like that. So whenever I go home, it's like I can see my dad every time. I'll be like, damn, like we came, not to say like we came a long way, but like I could see the trajectory of my family,
yeah,
like live and in real time. And it's like, damn, this kind of dope to see for real. That's why I see a lot of people that be shitting on their folks and stuff, like, yeah, my folks ain't had none coming up. It's like, bro, they just pass you the time for you to take it to another level. You got to appreciate what they gave you. Yeah. It's on you to take it to the next level, and then your kids do the same. But I ain't gonna get too deep on no spill on that shit.
I understand, man. Yeah. All the way. Yeah. I feel you.
But before I let you go, man, I want to say this was a fire conversation, man. I really appreciate you coming out here to Dallas and then rocking with me and bringing my listeners some value. But before I let you go, can you plug all your stuff where people can find you, follow you, contact you if they want you to teach them like everything you got?
Okay, so on everything, I got Instagram, TikTok, Threads, the new thing on the scene.
You rocking with it?
YouTube, _EKAYWAY. You can find me on there. Trying to get in my Discord and learn the way we trade the right way. It's lgrdiscord.com.
Okay.
You can tap in.
Say it one more time just for the people that might not have been listening. They just came back to their phone. They watching this. They might have, you know what I'm saying, accidentally pressed skip. Just say it one more time for the people.
So Instagram, TikTok, Threads, YouTube, _EKAYWAY.
Okay.
Then my Discord community is lgrdiscord.com. It's Let's Get Richer. As y'all will see on my shirt.
On his shirt, yep. So, that's simple, man. Y'all tap in, bro. Y'all see he provided a lot of value. He got a lot of dope, amazing things he's doing. So like I said, I'm definitely appreciative to have you on the show, bro.
So I love it, man. It was a dope thing to come here.
Thank you, bro. This gonna do his thing, bro. You gonna see. But in wrapping up, y'all can find me and follow me on all platforms. That's at Xavier C. Miller. And y'all can follow the Millionaire Mindsets platform. That's everywhere on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook at Millionaire Mindsets. And that's all we have for this episode of Millionaire Mindsets. See you guys next episode. Peace.
Gotta get your brain right if you're trying to make $1 million. If you ain't gonna do it for yourself, then do it for your mama. Only stay surrounded by them people if you know they solid. Elevate your hustle up today to double up your profit. Trying to learn some game, Xavier gonna talk about it. No, Deanna, speak that shit that everybody vouching. Ain't no more excuses valid. Get up off the couch and get up in your bag to your bank account, need an accountant.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.